Social media is a wealth of information. I have been astonished at the number of times that a plaintiff's social media account directly contradicts their damages claim. I remember one case in particular where a young woman was complaining about pain after an abdominal surgery, and her primary complaint was that she was unable to lift her small child and that this was impeding her bonding with her child. And I'll be dadgum if over social media they were not in Disneyland 2 days after the surgery with her holding her child with every creature Walt Disney ever envisioned. And it was a wonderful thing to know going in because it allowed us to set her up, give her a chance to say, no, that was a mistake by my lawyer, or things have changed. And when you can catch a witness in a direct contradiction like that, it really can be fatal to their credibility in front of the jury. And so do thorough social media research. Obviously, this is subject to the ethical constraints of if they are represented by counsel, you cannot friend them on social media. You cannot direct others to friend them on social media. But if their pages are open, they are not private, and they have put them publicly out there, you are ethically allowed to view them. I also encourage you either to screenshot them the day you find them or to use one of the services that can download and capture social media. I think plaintiff's lawyers are increasingly savvy about the need to control social media. They ethically cannot delete an account, although they can make it inactive. But I don't think that you can rely on social media to be available to you at all times. And so you need to have that bird in the hand and go on and capture it. You likewise should be looking at websites. If there is an expert who has a website, really any kind of business entity, you ought to see what's available there. You may want to use a tool called the Wayback Machine, which is a nonprofit company that has archived all websites, and you can go back to the time at issue in the litigation and get a true and correct copy of what the website looked like then, and maybe compare it to what it looks like now. Having that ability to have the accurate version of their website can be very helpful in terms of what the witness was putting out there at the time, what they're putting out there publicly now, especially true for experts. The other nice thing about using the Wayback Machine, particularly if you're in federal court, is that many courts will take judicial notice of the Wayback Machine or will find it to be self-authenticating. This helps you with a proof problem at trial in case the witness denies that that is a true and accurate depiction of what their website was at the time, or has a convenient case of amnesia. The next thing that you should routinely do is a civil and criminal background check. You know, part of what makes a witness competent to testify does go to whether they've ever been convicted of a felony or crime of moral turpitude, and that's something you may want to know. Similarly, understanding how many times they have been a party to the litigation tells you something about the types of claims they've had. Perhaps in an injury case, you'll have claims that a particular injury was caused by a different act or omission of a tortfeasor. You may also be able to get prior deposition testimony. This is helpful not only because you get to see what their words were and find potential impeachment, but especially with witnesses who testify frequently, many of them fall into patterns of how they testify or how they handle difficult questions about their background. And having read some of their prior depositions lets you circumvent their usual tells. They get very comfortable with how they're going to avoid a difficult question. And it means you know that in advance and you can come at it from a different direction. Confirm licensure and professional memberships. The longer somebody has been in their field, the less likely they are to keep up the accurate depictions on their CVs. And so you can find some good credibility diminishing information if they are not still licensed, if they have not kept up their continuing education, etc. You know, in Texas, it actually is a violation of the Texas Medical Board's rules and regulations to represent that you still hold a board certification that has expired. And so that's another important thing to know.